This was just an opportunity to really go forward. They were grabbing all they could. They weren't there to serve the people. They were there to take advantage of the people. They lost their focus on what the feast was for. They lost their focus on why people were coming to the temple in the first place for the Passover. For that day when the Lord killed the firstborn of everything, unless it had been covered by the blood of a lamb or goat on the doorpost of the home. That allowed the Israelites freedom out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. Matthew chapter 15, you don't have the scripture up there. Couldn't get it to you in time, Nick. But it says this. Jesus says, "These people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So here we've got this temple. And if you know, they got the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and they hold Jesus and his disciples accountable for every little Jewish law. Because it's of God, it's of God, it's of God. Thinking that was it. And yet, what Jesus says, it's just doing it with their lips. Their heart's far from me. Because if they look back at what Moses taught, what the prophets had said, it's how God wants us to deal with one another. How God wants to be number one in your life and the lives of those around us, right? And sometimes we can just do it with our lips. We can wear a Christian hat. We can say the Christian words. We can try to act as a Christian on the outside. But inside, well, we're sitting on the fence because we haven't given our heart to Him. We can say it, but when we give our heart to Christ, you give your will, like heart, will, mind, and strength. And let Him drive our actions. Jesus didn't like what He saw, and He cleansed the temple. Clean that thing right out. Now, how does this relate to us? Because Jesus was saying, this is a temple that you built. He looks at the people, and He says, this is a temple that you built for my Father. My Father didn't come down and build this temple, but you built this temple for Him. You dedicated this temple for Him. And now you haven't. You're just doing it in words. You're going through these feasts and all this stuff, and you're just, it has nothing. It has no heart. There's not room in a temple that has been dedicated towards God for the world. He is either number one or He's not. Nothing in between. So beginning how it relates to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 starts this way. "And a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which also we're appointed. But you are a chosen generation." Okay? This is to you and me. Peter is writing this to the church, not to the Jews, to the church. He said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are that special people. We have been given, as the door was opened into eternal life, we have been given the opportunity to be His special people. The church. A unique people. A people that says that we see the light of the truth of the gospel and who God is and what this is all about. And that this truth and who God is and what He has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, opens the door to eternal life, that this truth is so important that the teachings that God has shared in the Old Testament and through His Son, Jesus Christ, are more important than any other teachings we've ever learned on this earth. And we're going to live by those teachings. Because we are His temple now. But it's not a temple that was built with brick and mortar. It's a temple that is built with blood, sweat, tears, and the Holy Spirit. Think about this temple, the same as the temple in Jerusalem. They built that saying that this temple is dedicated to God the Father, Yahweh. When we give our life to Christ and we say, my life is yours, this temple, this tent of human flesh is yours by choice. By choice. Where's temple? Some scriptures that just come out, and I just got to read them because Paul says it better than I could ever do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Says this, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Sometimes we take, and our life is fast, isn't it? We go to work, we come home, we take care of food, we go to work, we sleep, we do. Sometimes we have a vacation, but life is crazy. And what we can do is we can get caught up in just getting on with the day by day. But it's through that action that sometimes doesn't even have a focus that the world can creep in and our lives begin to take an odd twist. Like what happened in the temple in Jerusalem, probably started out innocent enough, trying to help people with their sacrifices, trying to help people exchange money for the temple tax. But through the craziness of the feast and everything, over the course of time and years, it turned into something that had nothing to do with God and everything to do with the world. We are His temple. And if we say, Lord, I dedicate my life to You, I give You myself, it doesn't go by lightly. But sometimes in Christianity, that's exactly what we get the feeling. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Oh, wait, let me back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Now, what that means is if we are the temple of God, that people are watching us, and if all of a sudden we do something in the world that is not good, it's sinful, it's something that we shouldn't be doing, but we think it's okay, people are going to look at us being Christians, and what are they going to think? Someone who doesn't have the knowledge? They're going to think, well, John's a pastor of a church. He wouldn't do something that would be against God. It must be okay. So I can do it. The lost look at us. Are we a temple dedicated towards God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ? And if so, we must ensure that what the world sees is our love and our dedication to Him. Again, we're going to make mistakes. We don't have to sin, but in our weakness, we just come up short sometimes. But if we just slow down and ask the Lord, there's not a temptation we can't get through without. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the temple? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Kind of hits home that when we dedicate our temple to God, that it's all or nothing. And we are to live our lives in a way that is honorable to God in the temple. Just as Jesus' flesh, the man Christ Jesus, his body was a temple of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and he showed us how to live, and he paid the price for our sins. And if we are to seek to be Christ-like, we can follow him as his example to live the way. When we gather together, I know last week, I believe, Lynn spoke about the fellowship, correct? The power of the fellowship. So when we gather together, imagine the power, the strength, how we can edify and teach and take care of the needs of one another. How the Holy Spirit of God works through each and every one of us to deal with us individually as he binds us together as one, his body here in Christ. But what can happen is we know the beauty of gathering together as what we call church, the body. But things can sneak in, just as they did in the Old Testament or in the temple in Jerusalem. They can sneak in and create something within a church that we need to protect ourselves from, but they can sneak in and it'll become something it was never meant to be. Sometimes what can happen is music can sneak in and become preeminent on why we come to church. I love good music. I love a beat. I love singing. But sometimes, and how you can know is if you come to church and if you ever think, well, I wonder how the music's going to be today. I know you never think that, but I wonder how the music's going to be today. I wonder if I'll be able to get into it today. I wonder if they're going to sing songs I know today. I won't ask for a raising of the hands. But when all of a sudden, wait a second, music? So we're coming to receive, not to give? Doesn't matter if we know the words or not. It's a time that we can let our hearts back down. If we don't know the words and we can't sing them, it's a time that we pray and we lift up those that are singing, right? It's a time that we gather together and pray for one another. It's a time to allow our hearts to refocus on Christ. Whether it be reading the words and not knowing, but if all of a sudden music becomes the thing that the service is all about, how is that any different than what was going on in that temple? How about the message? I don't know how many times I've had people I know over the course of my 25 years of ministry come up to me and say, well, yeah, I'm just not getting fed at that church. That pastor's just not feeding me. And they look at me and say, so what do you teach? I want to throw up. I'm like, you know what? Because you know what I'm thinking? No matter what I teach, you're not going to apply any of it anyway. Jesus did not teach just to teach, did he? He taught for us to know and to learn so we would do what? Apply it to our lives on how we treat one another and how we focus on God the Father, right? It doesn't matter if the preacher's charismatic, and boy, oh, can he teach? And think of this. I remember one time when I first started preaching, I didn't have my Christianese very well, okay? And apparently one time I said, you know, we can do this and this, but you know, if you do that, you're just a plain jackass. Okay? And I said it, and there's a lady in the church. He said, jackass. Apparently that was one of those seven deadly words that you can't say in church. But afterwards he said, you know, I don't know if I can invite anyone to church. You know, I just don't know what you're going to come up with next. I'm like, well, game on. Did I shock you with jackass? Wait till next week. No. But what happened is, what was the message? Whether it's on the radio, whether you come to church, whether you're talking to somebody, if someone's sharing something of God and the Spirit is God there, what are you hearing? Does it go with the Word of God to confirm it? And will it make a difference in your life? That's a beautiful thing that I love about God. He is so graceful. He just walks us down the path one step at a time. I've wanted Him to do wholesale overhauls on me, right? Lord, I'm beginning to see all my faults, all my problems, all my weaknesses. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask that you just zap me, and it's all going to be gone, and just imagine what I can do for you when I am straightened out. Anyone else ever pray it? Maybe not in those words? Especially when you have a struggle and there's a temptation. How many people love temptations? We don't love temptations because they're temptations. And we look, Lord, take this temptation away. Right? I don't want to feel tempted like this. I'm so close to going in. I need help. And he says, well, you already know what the answer is. Well, I know, but that's not what temptation isn't that I don't know the answer. Temptation is, it's my flesh. The temple. Go back to the day, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my life as a living sacrifice to you. Temptations, and we stop, how you fight through a temptation. It's like, what is this all about? I've given my life to you. But there again, sometimes in church, the music can become preeminent. Sometimes it can be the message. You got to come and listen to the pastor. He's really good. You know, whether a pastor's really good at getting the message across or not, what do you leave here with? If you utilized or it was the Word of God was used, did the Word of God have any effect on you whatsoever? Like when you leave here today, don't remember me and talking and saying that word. You know? Think of this. Leave here thinking of what? I would love if you left here thinking of some of the scriptures I talked about. You being the temple of God, right? Being a living sacrifice. Carry that with you. And allow those words that the Holy Spirit has put into the scriptures to walk you through the day. Now, boy, Pastor had a wonderful message today. I got to be honest with you. By Tuesday, sometimes I can't even remember my message. Right? Because life gets kind of crazy and I have to kind of stop. What did I preach about? Scripture will come back. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got it. So it is. Husbands and wives, if you ever teach a marriage counseling class to another couple, it's really hard when you tell them how to do the right thing and your spouse looks at you thinking, boy, would that be cool if they did it, right? That is the Word of God. We know the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, we see the Scriptures. Can we apply it in our life and keep Him as a focus? Because the outside is looking in. I apologize, I'm so far off my notes right now, I don't know where to go. Thank you. I should get a head cold more often. But the thing is, like, when we come to church on Sunday, or whether we gather together on a Bible study on a Monday morning, Christ is to be the center of it all, right? Allow him, allow this thing to be done for God. When we come to church, whether the music, you know the songs or not, we don't just do it for the music, do we? Music can enhance it. You know, and sometimes the best, God will just throw a wrench into things to stop us. If all of a sudden people are like, wow, this is really great worship, and you look around, everyone's going, and he sees our hearts as more into music than into him, he'll throw a wrench into it. He can do it. What happens right now? If we had a power shortage, what happens to our band if we have a power shortage?
Acapella.
Acapella. And I look and I say, Lord, I got to be close. Where am I? Lord, do I want you in my life, this temple? Now, he can cleanse us by his grace, right? A little at a time. And what he does is, if he knows the intention of our hearts is towards him and his Father, if he knows the intentions of our hearts as we have given us, given his our life to him, and we're seeking, as we talked a couple weeks ago, he will prune things away. And the best way he prunes is so painless. He says, this is what I want you to do. And if we put our efforts on what he wants us to do in this direction, the thing that was sinful that was going in that direction don't get fed anymore. They simply get dry. And the father of the husbandman just clips him off, clips him off, clips him off. That's how I want Jesus to cleanse my temple. But you know what? God's love for us, worst case, I have seen him come in and cleanse people's temples as he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem. Because when you say, I have given my life to you. My life is built on you, Lord, and my temple is yours. When you dedicate that temple to him and you don't live it and you allow the world to come in, he sees that. And he says, I will not stand for a person to give their life to God, to give their body as a living sacrifice and a temple to God, and let them be comfortable living in this world of sin. And he escalates the impact and he cleanses. I pray I never have to do that. But I also thank God that he cares enough for me that if I ever fall that far off the mark, that he will come in and do what needs to be done to clean my temple. Amen. I don't ever want these words said about me by Jesus when I stand in front of him. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And I say that is, we are blessed here in the United States to have so much knowledge of the Word of God available to us. I don't know how many different variations of translations of Bibles we can have, how many radio stations are dedicated to sharing the gospel. We are so blessed. But at the very same time, we are so fragmented. We have doctrines out there that separate believers, will keep people separated on small things, like the food we eat. There are people that believe in Jesus Christ, but they won't really want to associate with others that will eat certain foods. Really? It's really a lot simpler. When you dedicate your temple to Jesus Christ and his Father, and you say, I'm going to live it, we take what we've got, and we treat others as he has taught us, right? Love others as I have loved you. Forgive others. As you forgive others, I will forgive you. Don't judge others, because how you judge others, they're going to judge you back. Don't worry about judging. My Father will take care of all that. But go through these scriptures And as you go into tomorrow, remember that you are, if you've dedicated your life to God, you are a temple of God. And when those temptations come their way, you just keep looking and saying, wait a second, I am here to give worship. And by giving worship, you're giving actions, the actions that God wants in your life, not the actions that the world has and is tempting you. And you walk away. And sometimes when you walk away from a temptation, it's going to feel like something is being ripped from your soul. Because it is. It is! But it's painful. It's painful. Been there. Got that t-shirt. Got that t-shirt with rips in it where the Lord has pulled stuff away. But I'll tell you what, I am His temple. You've given your life to Christ, you're His temple. You're a living sacrifice. Keep Him first and foremost. Don't get caught up with religion and coming to church just to come to church. But we come to church together, we're to open our hearts, take care of one another's needs, edify and strengthen one another. Yes, music can be a benefit, but whether we know the songs or not, lift them up in the middle of it. Pray. You want to have a message that means something? Pray for the person giving the message, right? That's the best thing. All of a sudden, if you find yourself being disconnected from the message, you know what the best thing to do is? Don't think about the next hour. You only got 20 more minutes. You pray for that person giving that message. You're at a Bible study and you're not picking up anything. You know what you do? You pray for the person leading that Bible study that the Spirit of God would be there, that the Scripture will take hold. And you will find one thing, that God was right there, and it wasn't the person that was giving the message or the person giving the Bible study that was out of whack. You're going to find most of the time it was your heart that was out of whack. But when you stop and you look at what your temple is for, praise God. Consider that as we move towards that day of celebration when Jesus rose from the dead and opened the door for all of us into eternal life. Amen? God bless you.